From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. Today, Dr. Cairns commences an overview of Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. In this book, perhaps in more than any other New Testament book, we see remarkable parallels to what is happening in many churches in the 21st century. The church at Corinth was rife with sin and problems. The sins ranged from divisiveness to unspeakable immorality, while the problems included everything from abuse of spiritual gifts to disorders at the Lord's table. Paul's answer was the preaching of the gospel to return the church to focus on Christ. Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of this message in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Without Fear of Man. The text, Deuteronomy 28, verse 10, And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Then we can have no reason to be afraid of them. This would show a mean spirit and be a token of unbelief rather than of faith. God can make us so like himself that men shall be forced to see that we rightly bear his name and truly belong to the holy Jehovah. Oh, that we may obtain this grace which the Lord waits to bestow. Be assured that ungodly men have a fear of true saints. They hate them, but they also fear them. Haman trembled because of Mordecai, even when he sought the good man's destruction. In fact, their hate often arises out of a dread which they are too proud to confess. Let us pursue the path of truth and uprightness without the slightest tremor. Fear is not for us, but for those who do ill and fight against the Lord of hosts. If indeed the name of the eternal God is named upon us, we are secure. For as of old, a Roman had but to say, Romanus sum, I am a Roman, and he could claim the protection of all the legions of the vast empire. So everyone who is a man of God has omnipotence as his guardian, and God will sooner empty heaven of angels than leave a saint without defense. Be braver than lions for the right, for God is with you.
Word
It was a number of years ago that Dr. Alan Cairns preached these messages, in which he explains the teaching of each of the New Testament books. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation, a book which tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're happy to make them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, supplies of A Sure Foundation are very limited. Be sure to request your copy today.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 21 to verse 31. Maybe we should start at verse 20. I'm breaking in. I was going to read the whole chapter, but we'll start at verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of this familiar passage from his own precious word for his name's sake. As I've said, these Sabbath mornings we're taking an overall look. What my wife reminded me was to be a brief overview of the message of each of the epistles, trying to see the growth of the teaching of the New Testament and its application to us today. Having last week looked at the book of Romans, we now come to 1 Corinthians. The gospel of Christ was first preached in Corinth by the apostle Paul. Paul arrived there after his very brief witness in Athens, the first in the land of Greece, that great center of Greek culture and philosophy. As I've indicated, Paul was only very briefly in Athens, and he preached there not only for a short time, but with scant success. The Lord is sovereign in where he builds churches, when he builds churches, whom he saves, and how soon he saves them. And so in Athens, Paul didn't see a lot of people, though he did see some people saved. When he left the city of Athens and proceeded to the city of Corinth, it was with a great sense of fear and with deep foreboding. Some things were fixed in his mind as he went on his way. More than ever, he was convinced of the folly and the uselessness of human philosophy. He had seen all that in Athens, and he saw where it led. Then on top of that, he was deeply aware of his own weakness to overcome such a situation. And feeling his own weakness, he was filled with fear and trembling. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3, concerning his arrival in the city, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. But the third thing that was in his mind was that he was determined that he would preach the gospel with bold simplicity. that he would not garnish it in any way with the oratory or the wisdom or the philosophy of the world, that in all its bold and bald simplicity, he would preach it as it was, and he would wait upon God to make it fruitful by the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how Paul went to Corinth. And from the very first, his ministry was signally blessed. There was the usual opposition, of course, orchestrated by the Jews, but the Lord gave Paul special encouragement. He was there in much fear, but the Lord said, Acts 19 and verse 9, "Be not afraid." Paul was deeply aware of the inadequacy of his own speech. There is much in the New Testament that while Paul was a great missionary, a great preacher, a great theologian, a great thinker, and a great church builder and soul winner, yet by the standards of men, Paul was not a great orator. The strength of his preaching was not in the polished sentence. And as he was there in Greece, the land that luxuriated in its oratory, Paul felt how miserable, in human terms, were his attempts at public speaking. But the Lord said, "Be not afraid, speak, hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city." Anybody who doesn't believe in the doctrine of election and the sovereignty of God should read Acts 19 and 10. This is just after some were saved, and the vast majority of those in the church had not yet been reached and saved. They were still in their heathenism and their sin. Yet God could say, "I have much people in this city." And so with that encouragement, for a year and a half, the Apostle Paul labored in the city of Corinth, and the crown of his second missionary journey was the result of that labor. It was the establishment of a thriving, living church in the city of Corinth. Now later, as Paul moved on to Ephesus and established a church there, Apollos visited Corinth. And he made a deep impression on the Corinthians, not only by his orthodoxy, but by the preaching of the gospel with consummate oratory. The church in Corinth was greatly blessed. In chapter 1, verse 7, or 5 to 7 of this first epistle, we read that they were blessed with greatly gifted people. "In everything you're enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Corinth was a church that had people, plenty of people. It had people with not only great gifts, but people whose lives had been dramatically transformed by the power of the grace of God. You remember in chapter 6, the apostle speaks of many kinds of wicked sinners. He talks about idolaters and adulterers and fornicators and effeminate and sodomites and thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers and extortioners. Now that's quite a list of sinners. And he says, "And such were some of you." So in Corinth, there were people who had been idolaters, people who had been fornicators, people who had been adulterers, people who had been sodomites, people who had been thieves and revilers. "But now ye are washed." They were a changed people. They were a new people. Oh, they were not the type of people that proud religionists would have chosen as candidates for sainthood or as the material with which to build a new church. But they were the people that God chose to be saints. And they were the people that God made into living stones in the temple that he was building. So in the city of Corinth, a church was established on a solid foundation built by a wise master builder, as Paul calls himself, and mightily endowed with all the gifts and graces of the Spirit of God to carry on the work. It was a great beginning. As I've said, the building of this church was the crown of the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. He never did see a greater work done any place than he saw in the city of Corinth. And then came the problems. It's sad that you have to say that. They were all this. They were new converts. They were gloriously transformed. They were mightily gifted. They were on fire for God. They were blazing a trail throughout all the region of Achaia. Their name was known. It was in everybody's lips for what God was doing. It was a wonderful thing. But it's tragic when the mighty forward progress of the Church of Christ is halted by a but. Here were the problems. The devil got in among them. Well, he didn't just get in among them, he was practically invited in among them. For sin began to express itself, fleshliness began to be accepted as the norm among the people of God in Corinth. I think there's evidence in the book that they misused the gospel and its doctrines as a cloak for wicked living. They were proud rather than ashamed of their sins. They split themselves into little factions, little warring groups and cliques in the church, so causing havoc in the church and jeopardizing its entire witness. When these sad tidings reached Paul in Ephesus, he was deeply grieved. From Acts 19, 21 and 22, it would appear that the apostle formed the purpose of visiting Corinth personally on his way to Jerusalem. And though that visit, I don't think, ever materialized, yet he did send Timothy and Erastus to seek to bring the Corinthians back, as he puts it in 1 Corinthians 4:17, into the remembrance of his ways which be in Christ. From 1 Corinthians 16 and 10, it would appear that before Timothy and Erastus ever reached Corinth, there were some messengers, a deputation of leading Christians from Corinth who came to visit Paul. And they brought him their personal account of what was happening in the church, the situation as it really was, how bad it was. And they also brought a letter in which they laid before the apostle some of the questions that were perplexing the church. Now with this account and this written request for answers, the apostle's response, immediately inspired of God, was to write what we call the first epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.